What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome to our show. It is Tuesday, February 16th, and we're getting into doing a lot of things here. We have a lot to talk about today, and we're going to do news until we run out of news, and then we're going to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, and opinions. I think Ken is still in our control room. Oh, no, Mike is back. Okay. They were having trouble getting people in and out because of the weather down in Texas. It is a major, major storm. It's being described as unprecedented, and apparently 9 people are dead. 5 million are without power as Winter Storm Uri sweeps the nation. And here's where it really shows the lack of foresight in government, and especially in the global warming cult, the green movement, because the reason Texas is in trouble right now is quite simple. They were given lots and lots of taxpayer subsidies to move into solar panels and wind turbines, okay? Now the wind turbines are frozen solid. They are too cold to move, and the solar panels are covered with snow. And when they go to turn on those natural gas valves to light up the furnace, nothing is coming out. And it shows a lack of forethought. What happens if all of this wonderful new green technology doesn't work out, as it clearly is not doing here? And energy, like money, has to be diversified, something that we don't see coming from the likes of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. There was also apparently a tornado that hit North Carolina. There's actually been a few tornadoes. The one in over there in North Carolina apparently tore up a bunch of houses here. Over in Europe, snow blankets the Acropolis in Athens as the European colds, basically it's record cold over there. And it's so cold, it shut down parts of the city COVID-19 vaccination and some of the public transport. And I wouldn't put away that snow shovel just yet, because there's another cross-country winter storm heading in. It's called Viola, and it will bring significant snow and damaging ice to parts of the South, the Midwest, and the East through the later part of the week. Now, we don't have snow falling right now this instant. They're saying we're not going to have snow until tomorrow night. But after that, it's going to really come on in there. Now, we got about 5-6 inches. I really haven't measured it yet, but it's definitely deep out there. Okay, let's talk about politics now. Let's talk about the aftermath of the impeachment of Rama that was out there. And there's an article that's coming out of Station Gossip that is going along with what we're all speculating, that following this second acquittal, Trump is going to reemerge and relaunch himself onto the political scene. He is in all probability going to become the new standard bearer for the GOP party. Those who don't like that are probably going to break off and form their own new Republican party. Maybe we can call them the paleocons versus the neocons, and they'll promptly disappear here. But they're asking, you know, is Trump actually going to hold out an olive branch to the current Republican Party and all those members of the GOP who basically stabbed him in the back or threw him under the bus or whatever the description you want to put in there for their behavior during this whole impeachment? Actually, the last 4 years, really, if you think about it. Now, Illinois Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger has been disowned by his entire family for opposing Donald Trump. Apparently, 11 of his relatives signed a handwritten letter calling him a disappointment to God and Lou Dobbs and a member of the devil's army. And they're saying this is a stain on their family's name for backing the impeachment of Donald Trump. Those GOP members of Congress who supported the impeachment, they are definitely facing a major, major backlash. Over in North Carolina, Republicans are getting ready to censure Senator Burr for voting to convict Trump in what they see as an unconstitutional impeachment trial. And of course it was, if for no other reason than the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court was not presiding. Then there's that small issue of having a process to remove somebody from office after they left office. Now, Lindsey Graham is already threatening to impeach Kamala Harris if the GOP gets a majority in the House in 2022, basically because of her support of this fund to provide bail money to Black Lives Matter protesters who were arrested for acts of violence. And he's saying this is much closer to the definition of incitement than anything Trump did. And so, yes, Kamala Harris should be impeached. Okay. GOP lawmakers are apparently continuing to support Mitch McConnell and Liz Cheney over their pro-Trump base. We could actually see the Republican Party split, which means it would be, you know, very weak. These two new parties would only be half as strong as the Democrats, not even counting the election fraud. So we could wind up with three parties, which I think it would be great to go back to multiple parties. I don't want to see a single party nation like the Soviet Union. And I think the two-party system has really shown its weaknesses and flaws. I think it's time we go back to having a multitude of parties, and really they have to work for the vote of the people rather than just run a lot of advertising and then buy the election machines. Okay, you're going to love this one. This is a bit of a flashback. This is coming out of townhall.com. There are newly declassified documents that confirm former FBI Director James Comey lied about the Christopher Steele dossier. This is the dossier, sometimes called the P dossier, that claimed that Donald Trump had done all kinds of nasty things while visiting in Russia, involving a hotel room and multiple hookers and a bunch of other things like that. And they basically, the FBI basically said, "Oh yeah, we're absolutely sure." And they signed the FISA warrant based on this Steele dossier. Comey actually wrote an email to then Director of National Intelligence James Clapper saying the dossier couldn't be corroborated. And yet they relied on it to get FISA warrants, or FISA warrants, rather, I'm staying corrected, to spy on Trump and his associates. Boy, I wouldn't want to be part of the Lincoln Project right now. It is just getting worse and worse over there. A second minor has come forward to accuse the Lincoln Project's John Weaver of sexual harassment just weeks after the first accusation involving 21 others, including a 14-year-old boy. And they are claiming that Weaver solicited sex in exchange for career advice. And the New York Times reported on January 31st, John Weaver was in communication with a 14-year-old, and that was the first allegation made that he was sexually harassing a minor. Another story on the same topic coming out of the Daily Mail in Great Britain, talking about the Lincoln Project's toxic workplace. Women were sidelined. Young men were referred to as wizards. It was basically described as a culture of infighting. So that's not looking really good either. And Trump has found that $50 million from the Lincoln Project went to the founders' companies. So they were getting rich. I think yesterday we reported on how one of the founders just bought a $1 million home out in Utah. And if you know Utah, $1 million buys you a lot of home. Okay, story coming on out from StationGossip.com pointing out that, Biden had this 308,000 ballot drop in Fairfax County, Virginia on election night. It was a single drop of ballot late at night, and it accounted for 73% of all of Biden's votes in Fairfax County. And there does not seem to be an innocent explanation for that one at all. Another article on the same topic. This is from Your Destination Now. Why are Arizona's Maricopa County Board of Supervisors not in jail? Because they are not handing over the 2020 election ballots, despite court and state government ordered audits. They're just saying, no, you can't have them. I think it was yesterday we were talking about how it could have been Friday about these AccuVote voting machines up in New Hampshire. An audit found that they subtracted 300 votes from every single Republican candidate just across the board. Just sliced them right off here. Story coming on out of Station Gossip. Previous study on the AccuVote voting machines like those used in New Hampshire found serious flaws in the ability to steal votes with little risk of detection. Our election system is a joke. The rest of the world is laughing at us for this. All right, there is a group now called Our Vote Matters. It is suing Facebook, Dominion, Mark Zuckerberg, certain state officials, and others for infringing upon the right to vote, to assemble, and to speak freely. They are going class action, which means you can sign on to the lawsuit as well. The article is linked to whatreallyhappened.com. Another little piece of good news. This is coming from sos.georgia.government. The Georgia State Election Board is starting to refer voter fraud cases for prosecution. And they have counted 35 cases of election law violations to the attorney general or local district attorneys for criminal prosecution. And Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who was up to his neck in the vote fraud scandal, is now out there trying to polish his image by saying election fraud is not tolerated in Georgia. He unfortunately is chairman of the 5-member state election board, which means he's in a very, very good position to interfere with those prosecutions and cover it all up. They are the most lied to people on earth. Republican former Senator David Perdue in Georgia wants to get back into the U.S. Senate after losing his seat last month in a runoff race against Democratic rival and now Senator John Ossoff. Well, David Perdue has filed to run for the Senate in Georgia again, this time against Senator Raphael Warnock. So he's not giving up. Good for him. We've all heard repeatedly about the We the People petitioning website over at the White House website. And there were quite a few times when they would raise the threshold, the number of people who had to sign a petition for the government to respond. There were a few cases where the petitions exceeded the signature threshold and nothing was done. In another sign that they aren't really paying attention to us anyway, the Biden administration has now completely removed the We the People petition website from the White House website. It is just gone. And the link, petitions.whitehouse.gov, now goes to the White House main website. And, of course, it's not like politicians have to worry about what the voters care about anymore, not after this last election. Should have taught them a lesson. You know, go ahead and vote, but don't expect anything from it. Story coming on out from Jacob Magazine, jacobinmag.com. I don't know why they have such tiny fonts there. The Biden era is witnessing a return of the military-industrial complex. And this article is talking about how Biden has brought into his administration a whole bunch of neocon war hawks, that he's talking tough about countries like Syria, going back into Afghanistan, going back deeper into Iraq. And of course, everybody is still drooling over a potential war with Iran, let alone Russia and China, which is still out there being deemed as major threats to the American way of life. All right, let's talk about COVID-19. It's still out there. A lot of stuff is happening there. Yesterday, we were talking about this revelation over in Great Britain that patients with learning disabilities were being given do not resuscitate orders during the second wave of the pandemic. And to nobody's surprise, this has spiked just a furious backlash, as well it should. I mean, this reeks of eugenics and getting rid of the useless eaters, George. And so people are very, very angry. They had this same scandal last year. And the Care Quality Commission said end of last year that inappropriate DNRs had caused potentially avoidable deaths, meaning they could have been saved, but they just let them go. All right, current numbers. This is coming out of Global Research up in Canada. 653 deaths and 12,044 other injuries have been reported following the COVID vaccine. This, according to the latest CDC data. This is not some fringe website like whatreallyhappened.com, just making up these numbers out of thin air. This is coming from the CDC itself. That's a lot of deaths and a lot of injuries, and some of these injuries are long-term. And as of February 4th, that's when these numbers come into play. 653 deaths, 12,697 total adverse effects. Another little scandal brewing on the horizon. This one coming from the postmillennial.com. More than $100 billion, that's with a B, in COVID aid has been misspent, stolen, or swindled. And they're saying that there is been this $630 billion in disbursements from the CARES Act funds. And more than $100 billion of it has been misspent. Actually, $63 billion alone was misspent in the state of California. And according to NBC News, the scale of the fraud in the unemployment program created by the CARES Act has reached a staggering level. Gee, I wonder if it's the legal or illegal immigrants who are trying to take advantage of that program. Down under, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has ordered a mandatory 3-day lockdown for Auckland, New Zealand. That's New Zealand's largest city, after three people, count them, three, tested positive for COVID-19. Another little side effect is showing up. This is being reported over at Scoopy Web. French doctors conducted MRI scans on 129 severely ill COVID-19 patients. They found evidence of eye nodules in nine of these hospitalized individuals. Apparently, the inflammation is triggered by the virus. That's what they're saying. And once again, this year, Mardi Gras is being not canceled completely, but definitely tamped down because of the COVID scare. They're going to be closing the bars. Bourbon Street is going to be barricaded. And between that and all of these cold weather storms coming on in, New Orleans just isn't what it used to be. Amazing here. All right, we're coming up on a commercial break here. And when we come on back, we're going to hit the international news. So stay tuned, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Wall Street wizards on the lam from a mental institution claim private retirement funds, yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, we'll be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash. Will Congress pay the pass?
Your continuing support to go on keeping Americans informed so they can make good choices. And obviously today we need to buy ourselves a snowblower. So for those of you who would like to help out, there's a whole bunch of different ways that you can get involved now. The postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. And don't forget, the Front Sight Firearms deal is back on. You're going to hear a spot for that later on from John Stadmiller. And then finally, if you send in a mail-in donation for $100 or more, include your T-shirt size and a return address, and you will get one of these spiffy RBN T-shirts. The network thanks you. All right, getting on back to the international news here. Multiple rockets hit a U.S. military base and a nearby airport in Erbil, the capital of Iraqi Kurdistan last night. Initial reports say one civilian contractor was killed, five others were wounded, and one U.S. soldier was also wounded. Two other civilians were wounded outside the base. A U.S. military spokesman said more details will follow, and the nationality of the contractor that was killed is not clear at this time. The attack also impacted the Chinese consulate in Erbil. Getting tense over there. There was yet another attack on Damascus by Israel, and nine non-Syrians died in that attack. The attack supposedly targeted arms depots and killed at least nine pro-government forces, all identified as non-Syrian, although nobody is sure where they really came from. Now, Israel's attitude is if it moves on the ground in Syria, then it's Iranian and we can kill it. Down in Arkansas, the Arkansas Times has successfully challenged a law that prohibits the state from doing business with companies that boycott Israel. And apparently they filed a lawsuit in 2018. They were represented by the ACLU. They don't take a position on BDS, but it launched the legal challenge after the University of Arkansas Pulaski Technical College refused to sign an advertising contract with the Times unless it signed the pledge. And a U.S. District Court judge dismissed the case in 2019, but last week the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals found the anti-BDS law unconstitutional in a 2-1 decision. So people are starting to fight back against all this nonsense. Another little article, this one is coming out of the original antiwar.com, and it's asking a very good question. Is Biden committing diplomatic suicide over the Iran nuclear agreement? Now, where we are with this is that just prior to the election, Biden was campaigning saying that he was going to go back to this Iran nuclear deal that Trump had unilaterally pulled out of. And everybody said, yeah, that's going to be a good thing, except, of course, for Israel. But ever since Biden has moved into the Oval Office, there seem to be problems and standoffs. And, you know, it's looking like it might not actually happen. And, of course, it'll be Biden's first failure as president. So Congress is still struggling to pass a COVID relief bill. But the rest of the world is reserving judgment on Biden and his foreign policy until they see what it is he's going to do regarding the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action Treaty with Iran. Over in Myanmar, the military is hardening their online censorship campaign. They blocked the internet, then they let it off. And now they've passed a new law that will permit officials to arrest the military's online critics. Internet access in Myanmar was cut off again yesterday. The military is attempting to stifle growing opposition to its rule weeks after a coup ousted the supposedly elected government. Now, the bias in this article is pretty clear. They're on the side of the government, but the military is insisting the election was massively fraudulent. And frankly, all of these supposedly spontaneous protests that we're seeing in Myanmar against the military look a lot like your standard boilerplate American color revolution. Okay, according to the network analysis company Kentik, internet traffic in and out of Myanmar was reduced to nearly zero early Monday morning. We're going to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. Decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? Preacher man wags his head.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about the international news. The United States is now trying to de-escalate the situation with Turkey. And it's sort of been, they've been banging foreheads together for a while. Turkey had earlier summoned the U.S. ambassador about a statement on the killing of 13 kidnapped Turks in Iraq. Turkish President Erdogan had lashed out at the State Department's initial hesitance to blame the Kurdistan Workers' Party for the deaths, calling the initial U.S. statement a farce. It's getting really, really tense over there. And Erdogan is a bit of a loose cannon, but then, you know, when you survive a coup d'etat, you tend to think of yourself as immortal. So Turkey is rejecting U.S. demands to keep to itself and is now committing to a troop presence in Libya. Turkey is saying their troop presence will remain in place pending the Libyan government approval and the status of the 2019 Ankara-Tripoli bilateral military agreement. Presidential spokesman Ibrahim Kalin confirmed the decision in an interview with state broadcaster TRT. The presence of thousands of Turkish-affiliated troops in Libya is stirring debate about the success of the interim government in the transitional process taking place under the watch of the United Nations. Now, to back up a little bit, the interim government is the imposed from outside junta that was put in place in Libya after their legitimate government was torn down and Muammar Gaddafi was assassinated. That being how the U.S. controls the world. Go into a country, kick up a bunch of trouble, bring down the current government and install a new obedient puppet regime. And they get to fly their own flags. That's certainly an improvement over the last two world wars, but the end result is the same. Over in Algeria, President Abdelmajid Tebboune is planning to dissolve the parliament and call for an early legislative election, citing an ex-presidential candidate and opposition party, Front des Forces Socialistes, according to the newspaper. Tebboune is preparing to issue a decision to dissolve parliament in the coming days. Doing so would mark the start of elections in the country, which has been swept with nationwide protests and the Hirak movement. Is there any place on earth that isn't in turmoil and violence right now? Because I want to move there. The United States, specifically Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, will meet with members of the world's most powerful military alliance on Wednesday for the first time since joining the Biden administration. Now, NATO meets tomorrow and Thursday to discuss an array of challenges facing the 30-member group, including the fact that some NATO nations are now making stink face at each other, which complicates things. So the virtual meetings will be a glimpse into Joe Biden's foreign policy agenda and comes on the heels of his calls to stand shoulder to shoulder with America's closest allies. And Biden said, when we strengthen our alliances, we amplify our power as well as our ability to disrupt threats before they reach our shores. America cannot afford to be absent any longer on the world stage. And of course, this is in contrast to Donald Trump's America First policy, which did seem to annoy members of NATO. Speaking of NATO, NATO's top general in Europe has declared initial operational capability of the alliance's five-strong fleet of surveillance drones stationed in Sicily. And the unmanned aircraft and the associated ground crew make up the NATO Allied Ground Surveillance Program. This was started 9 years ago. It cost a whole bunch of money. Its goal is to provide all member countries with an aerial picture of worldwide threats, especially in locations close to alliance borders. Now, the Mission Ready proclamation comes after NATO received its fifth and final aircraft for the fleet of modified Northrop Grumman RQ-4D Global Hawks at Sinola Air Force Base last November. I don't know if five is really going to do it, but that's just me. Let's talk about the economy for a little while. The Bitcoin hit $50,000. This is a new historic milestone for a crypto price. Those people who bought in early, even on just your first stimulus check, if you put it into Bitcoin, you'd be like 600% up right now. It's amazing. Story coming on out of Station Gossip, and it kind of shows you how we are being over-governed and over-controlled. Apparently, there was a mother having to work the evening shift at a pizza restaurant, and the police arrested her for leaving her children, ages 10 and 2, home alone. Okay, and yeah, it's getting almost impossible to be able to live your life without violating some law or regulation somewhere. It's very, very frustrating. Stephen Van Meter is out there with a comment that the GDX weakness is signaling a market crash. So he's adding his voice to all those who are saying there is a downturn on its way. Now, Amazon is recruiting 26 former FBI agents to provide security from and smash the workers' unions. This is like Matawan all over again. The tech giant is employing services of specialists to collect and monitor information on organized labor. Now, currently, Amazon is facing one of the largest union pushes, with more than 6,000 employees in the Amazon Birmingham facility voting to form a union. Now, tech giants are already in the news for providing a diverse range of technology services for the military and supplying law enforcement agencies with state-of-the-art facial recognition software, not to mention handing over your personal data on request without needing a warrant. Now, Amazon is focusing on security by hiring these former FBI agents. And officially, the agents will be dealing with counterfeiting issues, antitrust scrutiny, and work activism pressure. But the insiders are saying this is all about smashing up union representation. Now, as I mentioned last week, I am not a huge fan of unions. Unions were my nemesis during my career in Hollywood. They're very protectionist, it was literally a case of having to be part of a whole new technology revolution to get inside Hollywood, because all the old technology was guarded by the unions. And I remember toward the end there, the unions were trying to grab computer animation and slice it up and say, well, you know, the modelers belong to this union and this guard, and the riggers belong to this, and the texture goes to this union, and just really busting it up all over again. And I'm glad I didn't see that. But that being said, I recognize that in the face of abusive management, unions can and do serve a useful function. And I think we're seeing that happen here at Amazon, which, despite its reputation for great service, has also acquired a reputation for being a very harsh employer. We were talking the other day about the workers being told they will work this 10-hour graveyard shift, or they'll be seeking other employment elsewhere. That kind of a situation. So I wish them a lot of luck, and I'm certainly willing to pay a few more pennies for my Amazon orders for the Amazon workers to get a decent wage and salary, because if they can't make a decent wage and salary, if ordinary workers all across the country can't make a decent wage and salary, how can they pour that money back into the bottom of the economy in order to keep it moving forward? See, that's what a lot of these money junkies don't think about. They want the money to flow all the way to the top and into their pockets, and that's the end of all they can see. But the economy, to keep going, that money at the top has to find its way back down to the bottom as decent wages and salaries, so people can work for it, earn it, and go to the store and buy a new large screen TV or a new bicycle or a new AR-15, or and keep the economy going. The more we see the wealth inequality grow in this country, the worse things seem to get. And it does feel like the economy is locking up, and that we are, in fact, headed into a worse situation than we saw back in the 1930s. Of course, I didn't see it. I wasn't alive then, but I've seen the photos. Talking about immigration, we mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning again. Joe Biden plans to release an immigration bill this week that would give 11 million undocumented immigrants an accelerated path to citizenship and expand the refugee program. Now, I have a question. Just for a moment, imagine that you are a legal immigrant to the United States of America, and you are pursuing citizenship by following all the rules and filling out all the paperwork and doing everything that's required to become a legal citizen of the United States. And now, all of a sudden, Biden is going to pass an immigration bill that gives the illegal immigrants, you know, the speed lane right around you. How would you feel about that? I can't imagine that those who are playing by the rules would be very happy about that at all. Kind of reckless here. and especially reckless that they're now putting pressure on American companies to hire immigrants ahead of American citizens. That is really a dumb, dumb, dumb idea. All righty. Getting into the woke culture and some of the craziness that's going on out there. Over in, this is right here in the United States. A growing number of woke English teachers are refusing to have Shakespeare in their classroom. We're talking William Shakespeare. And they're saying that Shakespeare promotes racism. I know that's been a criticism against the Merchant of Venice, white supremacy, intolerance, toxic masculinity, and classism. And I mean, really, they are just ripping out the foundations of Western thought or any thought at all. This one really annoys me. It's coming out of Tethasta.com. Up in Oregon, the Department of Education is recommending a new course that claims asking kids to show their work in math class is white supremacy. Let me repeat that one more time. The new position of the Oregon Education Department is that asking students to show their work in math class is white supremacy. That is absurd on the face of it. The whole point of Common Core was to get math students to show their work. Of course, the way it was shown was not the most efficient and expeditious way of reaching your answer, but at least they were showing the work. Now they're saying, no, showing your work, that's white supremacy. It's amazing here. Over in Britain, and this is a little bit of good news, there's a pair of new government initiatives that will see universities in Great Britain fined if colleges or student bodies attempt to shut down free speech on campuses, and heritage bodies sanctioned if they use funds to advance partisan political movements. And I can hear Israel screaming bloody murder about this already. So the Sunday Telegraph reported that the university measure is to be announced this week by the Education Secretary Gavin Williamson, who has previously railed against the rise of wokeism and leftist cancel culture. So a small victory for sanity over there in Great Britain. Another story, this one from blabber.buzz. Down in Mississippi, the Senate has passed legislation that would prevent biological males from competing in women's sporting events. The bill, identified as Senate Bill 2536, passed through the Senate by 34-9 last Thursday without much debate. And there really is not much debate on it. And after it's signed into law, transgender athletes will be prohibited from competing in women's sports competitions at Mississippi schools and universities. And I understand there's about five states that are in various stages of implementing similar laws as well. Over in Virginia, their Supreme Court will hear an appeal to block the removal of a statue to Robert E. Lee. So people are pushing back against all of this cultural erasing that we're seeing around us. And story out of WorldNet Daily, lawmakers are asked to pull the plug on a U.S. city's surveillance state. And this is in Baltimore, Maryland, which has a practice of continuously spying on the residents from the air. And the Rutherford Institute is asking the state's House Judiciary Committee to craft a bill that would forbid police from carrying out persistent citywide aerial surveillance on the citizenry. The exception would be circumstances permitted by the Constitution. In other words, you need to have a warrant. I remember when they brought those helicopters to Southern California, and they were just all over the place and peeking into all the windows and, with the lights on and everything like that. It was very, very annoying. Story coming on out of thomasdishaw.com. Michigan State police officials are dodging public records obligations by using encrypted messaging apps. So it sounds like they have got something to hide. Certainly the intent is there to conceal what they're supposed to be making public record. So we'll see what happens with that. We got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back with more news.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here. Now, over in Missouri, a new bill aims to block federal law if the Biden administration clamps down on guns, which we all know they are getting ready to do. So State Senator Bill Eigel of St. Charles County is promoting a bill in Jefferson City to preserve gun rights if the federal government adds restrictions. The bill, Senate Bill 39, was introduced by State Senator Eric Burleson and would create the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which would nullify any new firearms restrictions from the federal government in Missouri. So this is going to kick off a state's right issue and probably could even be a challenge to the Supremacy Clause. Getting into, I mean, especially with all the snow coming on down here, it's time to talk about human-caused global warming. And story coming out of Breitbart, the Vatican is calling for a responsible, unprecedented collective response to the momentous challenge of climate change. And speaking on behalf of the Pope, Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin said in an online address to the Climate Adaptation Summit that climate change represents one of the principal challenges facing humanity in our day. You know, I always thought the Vatican was all about religion and the Catholics. And, you know, I get very leery when religious leaders wade into areas of scientific inquiry, because I remember what happened to Galileo, Giordano Bruno, et cetera, ad infinitum. Bill Gates has bought himself a new yacht. It cost $860 million, giving him bragging rights over other ultra-rich seafarers. And what makes this yacht unique, it's hydrogen-powered. And so, he's going to sail around in this thing and prove that he is morally superior to everybody else because he has got this, hydrogen-powered ship. Now, the custom build is based on blueprints for the 372-foot vessel Aqua, publicized at the Monaco Yacht Show last year by Dutch marine architects Sino. It said the plans took inspiration from the lifestyle of a discerning, forward-looking owner. So Gates is a regular super yacht holiday maker, but has not owned one, preferring to rent for summer trips around the Mediterranean. Now, that's interesting because I saw a story, I think it was about a year ago, that Gates had bought an old research ship, a triangular-shaped hull, very stable in rough water, and had converted that to personal use. So who knows what's going on with the lifestyles of the rich and vapid. This is really kind of interesting. Dubai announced last week. Oh, okay. We got to take a break for station identification. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines, area code 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, And when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.